Hi, this is Michael Graybell. I am a staff reporter at ProPublica. You know, last week's jobs report presented promising signs that the economy may have finally recovered from the Great Recession. But one trend that has lingered is the dramatic increase in temp work in the United States. The temp industry now employs nearly 3 million temp workers, the highest number in history. The temp system insulates companies from workers' compensation claims, unemployment taxes, union drives, and the duty to ensure that their workers are citizens or legal immigrants. In turn, temp workers suffer high injury rates, wait unpaid for work to begin, and sometimes face fees that depress their pay below minimum wage. It is one of our fastest-growing industries, yet one of the few in which the injury rates have been rising. One of the victims of this surge in temp work was a man named Day Davis, who was crushed by a machine at a Bacardi bottling plant barely 90 minutes into the first day on the first job of his life. Now there is a new documentary about Day's life and death and the growth of temp work called A Day's Work. The Chicago Tribune called it a smartly crafted documentary that goes beyond simply generating outrage with textured characters and canny storytelling. Joining me now from our ProPublica studios in Soho is the executive producer of A Day's Work, Dave Desario.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Thanks for being here. So how did you get interested in temp work?
On a personal level, I was a temp worker many times over, and the first temp job I ever worked was as a teenager, as a 19-year-old, in a warehouse working for a large corporation without any training, thrown into a situation where I didn't know where I was and what I was doing. I didn't have a connection to my employer, a lot like Day Davis. That was the first experience. I had many others later in life working in office settings, but I found a real commonality to the experience of working an industrial job and a white-collar office job, because it didn't matter if you were a temp worker in either of those situations. Number one, you were treated as a second-class citizen. You didn't have the same connection to that employer. And number two, temp workers, regardless of what they did, saw less of the value of their work returned to them. Having participated in that temp economy as a temp worker, I saw the need to really speak out for temp workers.
And it's not just warehouse workers.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the challenges in trying to change this system of temp work is people have very once accurate but now outdated views of what temp work is. A lot of people think of Kelly Services and Kelly Girls, the white gloves that were secretaries that might fill in for a week at a time, or they think of day laborers at the bottom levels of the construction industry. But it's still that in some places. But overwhelmingly now you have IT workers, nurses, doctors, lawyers, engineers, highly skilled workers in just about every industry in this country. Those jobs are now being staffed by temp agencies. So temp work doesn't just affect a few workers at the bottom of the labor market. I mean, it affects workers of varying levels of skill and success in their careers. And it affects all workers because, you know, everywhere the temp industry goes, every shop that has temp workers, they are suppressing the wages and the bargaining power of the full-time workers that are there. So you have a temp worker working alongside a permanent worker. That temp worker is probably making less. They're working without benefits. They're working without job security. And they're performing the same jobs as those permanent employees and proving every day that someone will do those jobs for less. So as temp work has grown, so have the effects on everyone that's working in this economy.
Tell me about how you decided to make this film.
Good question. I mean, making a film is not always a logical decision. I think one of the reactions was to the industry itself. In Washington, D.C., you have a lobbying group that represents ownership and management of temp agencies, and they have branches in 26 states and regions in the country. And you have no one national group representing temp workers. There is an opportunity and a need for people to speak out on behalf of the 3 million workers every day going to work temp jobs. And right now, they don't have a voice in their workplace, and they don't have a voice when it comes to shaping labor law and shaping policy. They're really an unheard-from population that needs something like a film or like your reporting to draw attention to who they are and what this growing segment of the American workforce needs.
Your movie focuses on Day Davis and what happened to him at the Bacardi bottling plant. Tell me about Day Davis.
Day is a lot like any of us, and I think it's why we focus on that case. He was 21 at the time of his accident. He had made a lot of good decisions in his life to gain job skills, to get an education, and really did everything that he had at his fingertips to start his career. And he became a temp worker for the same reasons most temp workers do. They're sort of out of options, and he needed a job. So he didn't wait for the job that he wanted or wait for the job that he believed he was good enough to work. He took the first job that someone was willing to offer him because his family needed some support. And That's how most people become temp workers. No one really wants to be paid less, to not have access to benefits, to have that sort of job insecurity. But we're faced with decisions when we got to pay the rent, or you got to pay the mortgage, or you've got a family to support. He was just like a lot of people. He became a temp worker because he had to.
The film opens with Day's sister, Nia, describing the family. Tell me a bit about Nia and how you crafted the film.
She crafted it for us in a lot of ways. We thought we were going to do a story that focused on Day's mom because we didn't think that a 17-year-old was going to carry this emotional, complex story. But when we got there, we realized it was a teenager who stepped up, who convinced her family to do this and to share their story for the sake of making sure it didn't happen to anyone else. And I mean, as bright as they come, emotionally intelligent, and really on a mission. And I think you have to say, in this young, sort of growing temp workers movement, or in a movement in this country to improve occupational safety and health, one of the leading voices right now is a teenager. So really an extraordinary young woman who we would not have this film if it wasn't for her and the effort that she's making on behalf of her brother and her family.
Let's hear a clip now.
My name is Antonia Washington. Everyone calls me Nia. My oldest brother was Lawrence Daquan Davis. Everyone called him Day. He was killed at his very first job on the very first day as a temporary worker.
His first day at work was his last.
The accident happened here at the Bacardi plant on Jacksonville's north side.
For many, it's come down to finding any work to get by.
As a result, more people are turning to local temp agencies.
Businesses have been hiring more temporary workers than any
other
kind.
But what many people think about temporary work simply is not a reality.
So Dave, why is temp work growing?
When you look at it from the employer's perspective, it's a great opportunity. Usually, temp work cuts costs and it removes an employer's responsibility. And it's growing because labor laws in this country are really set up in a way that favors temp agencies over direct hiring. Because, I mean, if you're a business owner or you've ever tried to hire someone, you know that it is extremely difficult, time-consuming, and expensive to hire employees and to hire them, particularly on a short-term basis. So the temp industry has really helped to craft labor laws and has set itself up as an expert to handle these sort of needs. So it's growing because who doesn't want cheap, readily available workers they don't have a commitment to? You know, a lot of companies really want that.
Your film says there's 14,000 McDonald's in the U.S., and 50,000 temp agencies. That's astounding.
Yeah, that's one that really sticks with people. You know, to start a temp agency, you need a workers' comp policy and a phone line. There's no regulation. There's no accrediting process. There's no formal paperwork that needs to be done. There's nothing. A workers' comp policy and a phone line. That's what you need to be a temp agency. So, you know, sometimes it's a storefront. Sometimes it's a huge corporate office. Sometimes it's somebody's living room. Or sometimes it's out of the back of somebody's van, as you've seen in Chicago. So, yeah, that's a number that sticks with a lot of people when they see the film. We think of McDonald's as everywhere and on every corner. But when you realize there's three temp agencies for every one McDonald's in this country, we really have a problem. When you think about low-wage work, or a lot of people think about poor working conditions, they think of employers like McDonald's, or they think of employers like Walmart. You have more temp workers than you have Walmart workers. You got more temp agencies than you have McDonald's locations. So why has our focus not been on temp workers? And why has it been singling out a couple of really bad employers? Because, I mean, the problems are not contained to a couple bad employers. There are a lot of fundamental issues that all American workers are facing. And, you know, the temp industry is really at the heart of that.
Let's listen to another clip from the film.
One person is still unaccounted for after yesterday's massive explosion.
A 41-year-old man fell into a working meat blender.
Overcome by some sort of chemical.
The company relied on
temporary worker who started here a few weeks ago.
Crushed by an industrial mixer working on a temporary basis.
Dave, what are some of the hazards faced by temp workers?
There are a number of hazards faced by temp workers. First of all, there are a lot of temp jobs that are dangerous, but that's not to say there are a lot of permanent jobs that also aren't dangerous. And I think most people would be surprised by the number of workers killed on the job or injured on the job in the U.S. every year. It really is staggering when you talk about 4,500 deaths a year in the U.S. to people on the job. The issues of health and safety are not contained just to the temp industry. They're pervasive everywhere. But it really is worse for temp workers for a number of reasons. First of all, new workers are at risk, and we've known for centuries, really, new workers are at greater risk on the job, and temp workers are frequently new. Your research has really given a backbone to that argument in showing how it's not just new workers, but it is temp workers that are at greater risk because there's something in that employment arrangement where the employer who's giving the orders on the worksite and directing the work process is not connected to the people working for them. It really you know, separates their responsibility from those workers.
Why isn't Congress or anyone in the government doing more about this?
I think the first step is really awareness. And I don't know what your experience was like when you first pitched doing a series of stories on temp work. But in my experience, one of the first times the film played, we were at a film festival that was labor-based and really left-leaning. The night before us, they did a screening on drones. And I think we all know how we feel about drones. And they had 200 people come out for a movie that, honestly, I can't remember what the movie was called, but I know how I feel about drones. And they got a huge crowd. Next night was temp work. And we probably had 35 people there. I don't think we're even close to having a level of awareness at this point to have real legislative action to change things on a national level. When you ask people, you know, what are the serious problems facing this country, you're going to get 100 answers before you find anyone that answers temp work. So I don't know. Have you had a similar experience?
You know, one thing that I'd hear a lot is, well, everyone was a temp worker at some point. I was a temp worker. It gave me great experience. And I learned, I was a young kid and I got a lot of experience in what it means to work in an office or work in a workplace. How do you respond when people say that temp work is a necessary stepping stone in a lot of industries?
Of course. There are 3 million people that go to work every day at a temp agency, and most of them aren't killed on the job, aren't injured on the job. Overwhelmingly, there's mixed experiences. And for those that had a good experience, you know, there's 3 million people that do that. Some people have a good experience. Some people have a bad experience. Some people have a forgettable one. But one thing that I am hoping to draw attention to is the way that it's set up is not conducive to the benefit of workers. So the longer a worker stays temporary, the longer that they work without benefits, the longer they work without sick days and holidays, the longer that they work in that insecurity, the more money the temp industry makes. So, you know, the number one reason why people take temp jobs is to become a permanent employee somewhere. But the way the industry makes money, the longer they stay temporary, the more money the industry makes. So you have these two conflicting forces, a worker who wants to be permanent and not be a temp worker, and the agencies that make more the longer someone stays temporary. So, yes, plenty of people have gotten permanent jobs from it. Plenty of people have gained experience, but more people have been hurt and injured than should be, and more people have been stuck in jobs that are dead end and don't help their families, don't help their careers longer than they should, believing what the temp industry tells them, and that, you know, this is your best way to get your foot in the door, the best path to permanent employment. And sometimes it is, but overwhelmingly, it's not a good thing.
What reaction have you gotten from the temp industry?
You know, I'd hope to start a conversation with the temp industry. I hope to include them in the film, but the lobbying group and really every one of the biggest agencies in the country declined to participate. So we lost the voice in the film, really, that was going to advocate for the benefits. So we've gotten some pushback from the industry. Overwhelmingly, the charge has been that what happened today at the Bacardi plant was preventable, but that the temp industry was not at fault because OSHA fined Bacardi, not the staffing agency. So they were not responsible, which that's a fact, but I think you'd do a good job of answering back to that. Should the temp industry have been responsible in that case? Were they responsible?
Yeah, and the pointing the fingers the both ways. In this case, when OSHA came in, Bacardi said, it's not our responsibility to train the temp workers, it's the temp agency. And the temp agency pointed the finger right back and said, it's Bacardi's responsibility. And so Day and other workers like him didn't get trained. But this criticism that the focus shouldn't be on the temp industry, it's not, they have less control. It's the large companies that use temp workers at the end of the chain who the focus should be on. What do you think of that? What responsibility do they bear?
It can be a very convenient relationship. When two groups get together and with the intent of diffusing responsibility, each can look the other way. You know, the fundamental reason why employers use temp agencies is to cut cost. Cutting costs does not provide training, does not provide safety equipment, and certainly isn't going to keep these workers safer than their permanent counterparts. You know, if a worker is temporary versus a worker who's permanent, obviously the temp worker is not going to receive the same level of training, the same professional development, the same investment in their skills, perhaps even the same equipment. They're temporary. They belong to someone else. The relationship at its core is designed to cut costs and diffuse responsibility. And one way the industry has reacted, you look at how they're speaking out for temp worker safety and who are the voices. They have lawyers talking about responsibility when it comes to temp safety. They don't have accredited occupational safety and health professionals advising. They have risk management people and lawyers. So this relationship is designed to cut costs. It's not designed to protect workers.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten from workers?
One of the most shocking things is when you show this film to people who don't identify with their temp experience, who are temp workers in the past. We had We had one guy who works for the Washington State Department of Labor, and we did a screening with them, and he stood up and said, you know, when I was 22, I was working for a temp agency, and I was lowered on top of a 20 or 30 foot tank to clean the top of it without any fall protection. And, you know, I didn't even think of it at the time what was going on. We've had a lot of people recall their own experiences. We've had people see the film and think of their kids or their nieces, their nephews, and being young in the labor market and having to make tough choices the way that they did. And with current temp workers, we've had them share stories. When we were at a screening about 2 weeks ago in Chicago, we had some temp workers there who said, oh, yeah, we go into the machines to clean them all the time. And we don't, there's no lockout, tag out. That's just how we do and how we have to keep things moving. And this was at a very large major producer in the Chicago area, a big company that they were working for that they said, oh, yeah, we go in the machines all the time. So we've gotten a lot of different reactions from the temp workers that have come out and seen it.
Yeah, really shocking stuff and really amazing storytelling. You know, one of the things that Chicago Tribune, when they reviewed it, pointed out that this isn't sort of your typical documentary that just presents a bunch of facts. There's some great storytelling and here is some great filmmaking. So tell us a bit about how can our listeners see the documentary?
Well, right now we play at a few film festivals. We do some local event screenings with community groups. So if they want to check in and see where we're playing, check out tempfilm.com. We have updates on there with upcoming screenings, and hopefully looks like in about a year it'll be online streaming and available to the public.
Great. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Thank you for listening to the ProPublica podcast. We'll be back next week.